Well, good morning, everyone. And may I say, Merry Christmas. We are officially there in that season. Praise God. And what a wonderful start. I mean, we had a couple of cold days, but then we kind of went right back to some warm days, which is kind of my favorite. But my wife is praying for the cold again. So we kind of, that's the only thing that she and I don't walk in agreement with. Everything else is good, though. Everything else is good. Praise God. I want to welcome all of you watching by television this morning. We're so glad that you are tuning in with us today. And as always, I'm just saying, go grab you something hot to drink, like a hot tea or a cup of coffee, and grab your Bible and something to write with, pen and paper, and just tune in. And I want you to do something for me. Those who are watching television, I want you to just be praying in the Spirit with us today, because we are expecting a great move of God this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And what happens here happens there. So right there in your living room or in the hospital room, I just sense right now there are some of you watching in the hospital right now. In Jesus' name, we're believing and stand for your healing. We stand in agreement with you that it shall not last. This will pass now in Jesus' name. We speak healing into your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, Eagle Mountain.
Good morning.
What a beautiful crowd you are. So blessed, so wealthy, and healthy, and strong. Hallelujah. Well, we're so glad that you're here this morning. Are you ready to receive this morning? Praise God. Well, this morning we have a treat. This, you know, I get the privilege. I'm talking about a privilege to teach at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Hallelujah. And that is something that I never thought I'd ever be doing. But then when the Lord brought me here and Pastor Terry approached me and said, I'd like for you to be a part of that, I was honored, very honored. But you know what makes it so special for me is actually, one, that I get to teach here, but really the biggest thing is that I get to be a part of these young ministers' lives that are coming in here and they're getting fed the Word of God, and I get that part to just impart into them and to minister to them and show them the Word of God. And so this morning we have one of our KCBC students here. How you doing, sir?
This is
Gabe, everyone. And Gabe is one of our first year students and just remarkable young man. We have a lot of remarkable young men. But this morning I've asked him if he'd come up and lead us in prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So Lord, we just join in agreement this morning.
Lord.
And Father, we're hungry for more of you.
Yes.
And Father, we are hungry for what you have from Pastor Duane for us. And God, we just join in agreement for utterance from on high.
Thank you.
From utterance from heaven, answers to the questions. Answers to the questions that we're having. And God, we believe we receive everything we came for this morning.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Praise God. Well, as I mentioned, this is a blessing for me and just to be able to be a part of this. And so I want to thank Pastor George and Pastor Terry for allowing me to be here and to just to do what I love. And that's to teach the Word of God. So last week we were together, we were talking about being one with Jesus. And I want to continue that today, and hopefully we'll bring this to a close. Otherwise, I'll have to invite me back. All right. Is that all right with you guys? All right. Just making sure. All right. Hallelujah. But last week we looked at some things pertaining to the Word of God that really the church is hindered in this aspect, that they don't know who we truly are. The people in the body of Christ don't know who they truly are in Him. They're still trying to do things under their own efforts, their own works, and trying to get things done, and they're always falling behind the mark. You know, years ago I taught, when I was pastoring, I taught a series about missing the plan of God by this much. And, you know, Brother Hagin used to say that people miss God's plan really by 10 to 12 inches, he says, from the heart to the brain. He says, because in the heart, we know the Word of God is true, but it's this little noggin up here that kind of gives us the problem. Amen. And so I taught this series about missing God this much. And it was simply this, is that people miss it. I mean, literally just miss the goal by this much. Because they don't know that what God is wanting to give them, they already have. All they got to do is use their faith to take it. They're still trying to do all the works associated with it, trying to bring into pass something that is already rightfully theirs. Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yes.
And how many of you have been believing for something for a long time? Maybe you're believing for a debt cancellation or debt. And I'm real careful about even debt cancellation. I know we use that, but let's really define what debt cancellation is. Because if you're canceling debt, canceling means that it just goes away. But God is in the paying off business.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
What a greater testimony it would be that all of a sudden you had all the finances in your hand to pay off every debt.
Yeah.
And that's what we mean by debt cancellation. I mean, it doesn't mean that the debt just goes away. Some people say, well, if the debt goes away, I don't have to pay it. Well, somebody has to pay it. And the one that was left out is the one who lent it to you in the first place. Well, we don't want that to happen. Amen. So, you know, so, and maybe some of you are believing for your house to be paid in full. How many of you have been paying for your house for 15 years or more? All right. How many of you have been paying a little bit less? You have about 20 something years left. All right. What a great thing it would be to have that money in full to pay it off.
Amen.
Now.
Yes.
And we call those things to pass.
Yes.
Amen. We call those things that are not as though they were. We call our house. My wife and I call our house paid in full. That's her name. Paid in full. Amen. Why do we do that? Well, Pastor, you know, it's not paid in full. You're still making a monthly payment after all. I mean, that's just not faith. No, it is faith. It's calling those things that are not as though they were. It's calling seeing the end from the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
We see it paid in full.
Yes.
Well, how do we get there? How do we get to that place of just, okay, now that it's paid in full? First of all, I believe in my heart that it's paid in full.
Yes.
I believe now. Faith is
now.
Now. Many of us, let's take it somewhere even closer. What about healing? You know, we pray for healing. Well, Pastor, you know, I've been believing for healing from this diabetes for years. But why don't you just take it now? Okay, let me explain. Let me explain. Because I don't want anybody getting mad at me. All right? Brother Copeland said something a few weeks, about a couple months ago. The Sunday in August that I was going to preach. It was my best sermon because he preached. Amen. And anyway, he said something. He said, he called about people getting their knees healed. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And then he said, the Lord's been dealing with that individual to lose about 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, when the Lord tells you to do it, it's easy. It's easy to do it when the Lord tells you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it easy when the Lord tells you to do it versus when you try to do it on your own? Because it's on your own. And I saw, you know, and Pastor Greg and I, we look at those comments that people post, and there was a lot of people upset over that, saying, well, you know, it's not that easy, and you know, I've been trying to lose weight, because they're doing it on their own. But when the Lord gets involved,
yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Glory to God.
He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or think, according to the power.
Yes.
See, many of us just want to start off at the beginning. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. No, say the rest of it. According to the power that works in you. You realize you are wall to wall Holy Ghost?
Come on. Come on.
You should have got a little bit more excited than that. You are front, back, side to side, wall to wall, top to bottom, full of Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's the power. It's the same power that raised Christ up from the dead.
That's right.
The same power.
Yeah.
The same power. The very same power. That power resides in you. So, when Brother Copeland says something, when the Lord gets involved and tells you to lose 20 pounds, it's easy. Why? Because it's not according to your power. It's according to the power that's in you. So let's move that over to, you know, this is not even in my notes, but praise the Lord, we're going to go there anyway. But we're also going to look at let's look at healing. This, because we're talking about losing weight. I know I need to lose a little bit of weight. Thank you. I look great. Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to say something. But I know it was a little extra weight that has caused me to have a little bit of back pain. Okay? A little bit of knee pain. but especially my back. Now I can turn around and say, well, the devil's been after me, Well, first of all, I didn't say no to the extra pumpkin pie. We just got finished Thanksgiving, you know, and I just said pumpkin pie. I'm more of a cherry pie guy. I'm a fruit pie guy. All right. So I eat, and then I wash it down with some eggnog and then some milk, and you know, it's got to go down easy. And then after a while, you think, oh, that dressing sure is good. And you go back to the refrigerator and get you some more dressing. All right. And then you go lay down. And you sleep it off to wake up to just do it all over again. And we say we'd only do that once a year. This wasn't a one-day thing. Amen. This took some time. It took time to build it up to where I'm at right now. But then all of a sudden, the things that come with it, you know, because I'm not paying attention to what I'm eating and I'm just eating whatever I want to eat and drinking the sodas that I want to drink. And all of a sudden I start experiencing some health issues, and then I want to blame the devil for it. Brother Hagin used to say, you know, poor old devil gets blamed for things he didn't even have anything to do with. What is he saying? He said a lot of things. He says it's because we did it to ourselves. It's part of the curse. It really is. Well, we're redeemed from the curse.
Come on.
We're redeemed from the curse. All right. Well, if we're redeemed from the curse, then why am I still dealing with this weight gain? Because I haven't taken care of the flesh.
Amen.
That's right.
Remember, one third part of me is flesh. One third part of me is soul. But the main part, the biggest part, and it doesn't seem right mathematically that it's one third, but the biggest part of who you really are is your spirit. We're not being led by the spirit as we ought. We're still dominated by the flesh. Well, how many of you are I'm not dominated by the flesh, Pastor Duane. I put my flesh under. Oh, yeah? How many times did you hit your snooze button this morning? You still love me?
Yes.
I see eyes going. Is he talking to me? He's talking to you. But it's a flesh issue. We're going to look here in just a moment what the Word of God says about the flesh. Because as long as the flesh is dominating, then we're still going to have problems with sickness and disease that we've been redeemed from. Well, I'm believing for my healing. Okay. If you're dealing with diabetes and you're believing for healing, then quit going back to eating the things that you're not supposed to be eating in the first place.
Amen.
You know, my stepdad, bless his heart, I love him, man. But he did things the wrong way. He loves the Lord. No doubt about it. He loves the Lord. But you don't even get involved when it comes to him and his sweets. And I'm going to tell you what happened, because it's not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing for him. He would sit there and try to eat and pray and believe God for his complete healing of diabetes, and he felt that he could do that while he was eating his sweets. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from this bad stuff to my body, and the whole time eating. Well, that's trying to manipulate. That's foolishness. That's not faith, it's foolishness. And so, and the result of it is that he is now, you know, having to take daily insulin a couple times a day, 2-3 times a day, and it's just bad. But he now, talking to him, he knows where he was at. He knows what he did. You know, Brother Hagin, before he went on to be with the Lord, I'm not sure exactly who it was that spoke to him and said, if there's anything different that you would have done in your life, in your ministry, Brother Hagin said, nothing would I have done different in my ministry. Nothing. But one thing I would have done different in my life is I would have treated my body better. Okay? What was he telling us? Well, he was a pretty hefty man. He said, I would have treated my body better. Because he realized that the body was there to serve him, to fulfill the call and the plan that God has for this, his life, for this world. But he was, he liked sweet teas, and he liked to eat. We all do that. We all like that. I'm not saying don't eat anymore. I'm not saying go eat sticks and twigs, go to Sprouts. And that's the reason why they call it Sprouts. You buy sticks and twigs. No. It's good to eat healthy, and it's all right if you can't eat, if you can't go eat, healthy. You can still eat healthy. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go and buy the most expensive stuff out there because it's the healthy version. You know, if you're not there yet, don't worry about it. Just eat healthier, make better decisions. Because the power to decide is yours. Okay? Now, let's get into some word here. Because I want to look at something here. Hallelujah. The more that you know and understand of God's word, the quicker you'll start seeing spiritual riches manifest in your life. I'll say that again. The more you know. Now, this isn't just a knowing like, I know that man is sitting back there in the back row. No, it's not that. It's know, like I know my wife. That intimate. The more you know and understand. See, I've had 18 years with my wife. I understand 30% of what's going on in her mind. No, I'm just kidding. But I understand what makes her upset. I understand what gives her motivation to go. I understand those things. After 18 years, you should. All right? Well, the same thing is with the word. The more you know intimately, and the more you know, the more you'll understand God's word, the quicker you're going to start seeing spiritual riches manifest in your life. And that includes everything pertaining to life. We started off with debt being paid in full. We moved into healing. See, the power for healing is already in you. The power for health is already in you. Proverbs chapter 4 says, incline thine ears into my saying. Let them not depart from thy sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because it says it's health. It's medicine to your flesh. Some of you have been reading, and the word of God. Some of you have been reading the word of God for a long time. And the word is in you. The word is in you. The word is working in you. But I say this, many times, while the word is working in you, you're counterworking the work of God in you. How am I counterworking it? By the words that you speak. Hello? Oh, this is good.
Come on.
The word is working. The word is working in you. Completely working in you. God said his word will never return void. It will accomplish that which he sent it to do. So if the word is working, I've been doing it for years and it hasn't worked, you're counterworking. Whose word takes precedent? Whose word takes precedent? The one that is just spoken. Yours.
Yes.
God won't override your will. If he says you're healed and you're saying you're not, you shall have what you say. But the word is working. The word hasn't failed. The word won't fail. The word's going to keep going. The word is doing its thing. It's the same word, the same power of that word that God spoke at the beginning, light be, that travels, still traveling today 186,000 miles per second, that kind of a power is working and surging in your bodies right now. And when you speak that word, see, it's got to have your part. You got to speak it in order for it to be activated. Some of us are using the wrong activator. We're saying the wrong things at the wrong time. Well, one of these days I'm going to lose this weight. Yeah, one of these days, not now. How many of you have been saying, one of these days I'm going to lose weight? One of these days I'm going to be out of debt. One of these days. Which day is it?
Yeah.
Which day is it? Faith is
now.
Yep.
Faith is now. Oh my goodness. I know this is a simple, y'all know this. I know all of you know it. I know you're watching television. Pastor, I know this stuff. Then why are we still in the same situation we're in? I'm looking, you know, this is the old one, the abundant year. It's not the old one. This is still the same one. And we'll take that off for the next one. But the next year, new visions. Amen.
Yes.
I visioned myself in 2020 paid in full. All debts, including house and cars.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Well, Pastor, that's just too big. You just said it.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next 5 years, my 5-year plan, I want to activate it now.
Yes, right
now.
20-year, my vision, I see myself fit, strong, healthy back, healthy knees, eating the right things. Well, I can do it in 3 years. Why not now?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Still with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You are one with Jesus right now. The scripture that I read last week was 1 John 4:17. And it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, that's talking about our spirit. Our spirit is just like him. We're the same. Identically the same. Matter of fact, we're so one in him. The Greek word one translates a singular one. A singular one. One. We are so intertwined with Christ. You are so intertwined with him that you cannot in any way, there is no plan of the devil that is strong enough or powerful enough to separate the two of you.
Come on.
Amen.
You are so much like him. Oh my goodness. I get a little excited when I think about that. When you are one with him, you are faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's no longer in your own way. You are one with him. Glory to God. So that Greek word says a singular one. It's much deeper than just thinking of where we're in unity with him. Let me put it this way. If there are molecules and atoms in the spirit realm, then you are molecule for molecule and atom for atom, identical to Jesus. That ought to set some of you free just knowing that right there. When you know that, then you think of, what is this trying to climb on me?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What debt and poverty ought to just feel nasty on you.
Right.
What is this? What is the cold's trying to... What cold can't come on me?
Come on.
Yes, Lord
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Does this cold know who it's dealing with? Cold, do you have a name? Oh, you do. It's cold. Well, let me tell you something else. There's a name that is above every name. And I'm so intertwined, I look like one with him. Therefore, cold, be gone.
Glory to God. Yes.
Glory to God. But the reason we have problems is because we're still stuck in the sensory realm. Well, Pastor, as soon as I start feeling better, then I know that the word is working. As soon as I start seeing the manifestation of this start happening. No. Why do we wait? Why would you want to wait?
Amen.
Light be. Did God sit there and wait?
No.
Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm still waiting for it to come. I spoke it, maybe it'll happen soon. One day it'll
happen.
Did the elements stop and moving at his spoken word to think about what it was going to do? The elements all came together to obey what was spoken. Some of you are dealing with some symptoms right now. You need to speak to it right now. In the name of Jesus. I'll just help you right now. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Say this out loud. The word is working mightily in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once that we can begin to experience this reality of this truth of knowing his word intimately, knowing his word and understanding it, then you're going to be seeing the transformation of the renewing of your mind to where you get to a point where you can then see the manifestations before they actually occur.
Yes.
Well, how does that happen? How does it happen before they occur? Because you see the end from the beginning. You see it already moving. You see the end result. Amen. Glory to God. So let's look at a couple of things here. I want to go over to the book of... I'll do this. Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Praise your Lord Jesus. Now in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3, there's an important prayer here. The Lord instructed me to read this over the student body in our Life of Christ class. And I've done this and I've read this on purpose. And I read it again last night at midnight, and I was reading it, and the Lord showed me something different about it. Remember I talked about students, about the different facets of the Word of God?
Yeah.
The Word of God is true. It's regardless of whichever way you look at it, it's true. But there's different facets. We see it from one side, and we see it from this side, and we see it from this side, and we see the fullness of the Word of God. All right? Many of us are just seeing it from the one side and we think, okay, that's it. But then we get over to the other side and we realize, oh my goodness, it's even greater than two. It's just as good. Praise God. So this prayer, and the Lord showed me here beginning with verse 16, chapter 1, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention you in my prayers. Paul is praying for the church at Ephesians, verse 17. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding. This is the purpose. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things. How much is all? That's the one Greek word that I know it's true. I know that one for a fact, what all means in the Greek. It means all. Hallelujah. He says he put all things in subjection under his feet. Well, where did he put it? Under whose feet? Jesus, okay? And made him the head over all things for the church. The church, which is the body. The fullness of him who fills all things in all ways. We'll just jump over to Ephesians chapter 3. For this, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family. Who's part of the family here?
We are.
Come on now. Who's part of the family?
We are.
Well, if we're part of the family, we're the body.
Come on now.
Remember, God put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet. He raised him from the dead. He seated him in heaven, in high places. He put all things subject under him. Gave him to be the head over the body, which is the family.
Right.
Your family. He says here, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, power to be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. Yes. I'm talking about your spirit now. Yes. And that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That you, listen here, this is where he talks about here, the importance, this is how you succeed, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's wall to wall Holy Spirit in you. Be filled. I mean, you can't fill anything filler. When something is full, it's full. When it's full and you continue to pour something into it, what happens to it?
It runs over.
Overflow. You ought to be so full of the Word, so full of His Spirit, so full. You're one with Him. You look just like Jesus. You're wall to wall, atom per atom, molecule per molecule, look just like Jesus. His very presence, His very power, the very Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it lives in you, resides in you. The power of God works in you, moves in you, resides in you, is available to you when you speak that same power.
Come on.
The same power, not a subordinate power, not a lesser power, the same power. Come on, guys. What he started off at the beginning, that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, this is what the church, he was crying out for the church, he's praying for the church for this very reason. The church didn't understand the power that was in them.
Yeah.
And he starts off by saying that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Many of you right now, you're receiving the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Yes.
Brother Copeland spoke this other day. I didn't think we could pray. I didn't think we could call this out. And yet he did it that Sunday. He says, their spiritual eyes being open right now in Jesus' name. I declare right now, their spiritual eyes working and opening right now in Jesus' name. Spiritual eyes. Seeing yourself the way Jesus sees you, the way God sees you. This is the mirror. This is the mirror we look into. The wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. What to reveal who you are, where you sit, what power is available to you. And then we sit back and wonder, when are we going to get through this tough time. Oh, I'm just ready for the rapture. Lord Jesus, take us all home because it's just too hard here. Your words that snared you. To know the love, verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes now. Oh, that's actually before that. That you may be rooted and grounded in love, may, verse 19, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. That's big, guys. That is so big. So we have to understand this. We have to know this. Jump over to chapter 4. We start off, Paul's still speaking here. He's describing to them the old life and the new life. So remember, we're still trapped by this flesh that still has dominance. Why? Because we still give it a lot of power than it should. We're still operating in that. Why? Because the spirit of wisdom and revelation you haven't been allowing to speak to you. Yeah. You're no longer subject to the flesh. You know the flesh is here to serve you. This is a servant.
Amen. Yes.
This is a servant. This body here is to serve me. Amen. And so he says here in chapter 4, verse 20, but you did not learn about Christ in this manner, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former way of life in the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be, look at that, renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now I want you to keep notice something that I stop and I kind of hesitate, but emphasize spirit. You need to go through your Bible, and every time you see his spirit, the spirit, underline that. Especially in the New Testament, so I want you to stay in the epistles. So he says here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new creature, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. All right? So this is something that we have the power to do. You do it. Now let's jump over to Romans 8. Anybody get anything out of this so far?
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Chapter 8, verse 1. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You can't please God if you're in the flesh. Matter of fact, if you look here in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore. All right, well, how many of you ever started off a conversation? There is therefore no milk in the refrigerator. There is therefore school tomorrow. Doesn't make sense, right? That there is therefore, there had to have been a previous thought, a continuum. We don't just pick up in the middle. So let's jump over a little bit. Let's look back in Romans chapter 7. And we begin here reading in verse 18. This is Paul saying, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will to do what is right is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And then he jump over verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who is he talking to? His spirit?
No.
Talking to his flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Spirit. So he starts, when you look at this in contrast, chapter 7 and chapter 8. Chapter 7 reveals to us that the flesh cannot please God. Romans 7 describes living in your own natural carnal ability. All right, but I thought we're one with Jesus. Yes, you are. This is the other third that keeps getting in the way. Yeah. All right, that's why the results are defeat, failure, and inability to do the desired good. Why is that? You know that in the flesh, it can't overcome, it can't turn the other cheek, and neither can the flesh forgive. Did you catch that? The flesh can't overcome, the flesh cannot turn the other cheek, and neither can the flesh forgive. And Paul is saying, who will deliver me from this flesh? Deliverance from the flesh, listen now, comes through living by who you are in the Spirit. Deliverance from the flesh. So you want to know how to deal with this flesh issue? I'm telling you right now how to do it. Deliverance from the flesh comes through living by who you are in the Spirit. Matter of fact, he says in Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must walk after the Spirit. And this is what we see here in verse 8. First of all, he says, and first thing he says is there is now therefore no condemnation. You can't bring condemnation into your spirit life. You can't bring condemnation and say, well, God is good to me, but feel condemned the whole time. You can't be leading a life that God has planned for you when you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror of what you did in the past. Can't do it. You're carrying extra weight that you shouldn't be carrying. No, you must walk after the Spirit. It's impossible to serve God in the flesh. Your spirit is the only part of you in Christ Jesus. Remember, you're one like Him. Your spirit is just like Him. Your spirit is the only part that looks just like Him. If you're in the Spirit, there is no condemnation whatsoever. But if you're constantly living in the flesh, and condemnation comes with that package. Come on now. When you look here in chapter 7, you'll find in verse 6 the Spirit labeled one time. When you jump over in chapter 8, you find the Spirit listed 21 times. So it defines to us the old carnal way of living in chapter 7, but it talks to us the way the Christian, the one who's new and made after Him and born again, should be living. 21 times we read in Romans chapter 8. 21 times we see in the Spirit. So where should we be living? Come on, guys. I gave you the answer. Where should we be living?
In the Spirit.
What should we be feeding? Our spirit. With what? The Word of God. And you read the whole thing in chapter 8. I'm telling you, chapter 8 will set you free. Chapter 8 is a victorious chapter. Chapter 8. You look at the end of chapter 8. It's amazing. Let's look at it real quick because I'm running out of time. Look here in the end of chapter 8. When you come down to the end, he says here, what after all these things that try to come against you, when the enemy tries to come against you, see, you're so in tune, you're so one in the Spirit, you're so one like Him, you are operating in the Spirit everywhere you go, hallelujah. And then he says here, what then, in verse 31, shall we say to these things? What things? Those things that are trying to come against you. Those things that are trying to attach itself to your body. Those things that are trying to bring remembrance of what you did in the past. What should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely? Oh, come on now. Freely, say freely.
Freely.
Think about this. Freely give us Some things? All things to enjoy. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Who is he who condemns? And then he says, it is Christ who died. Yes, who is risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, remember he said in Ephesians, Paul is speaking to the Ephesians. He said, listen, that you may know the fullness, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of his love. You got to know, first of all, first and foremost, God loves you.
Amen.
I mean, I wanted to get my life. I want my faith to work. This is why I get in the spirit. I find out who I am.
Amen.
I find out his love for me is greater. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I like, he even goes on to describe some things. Shall tribulation or distress? Come on, say it out loud. No. Tell tribulation?
No.
Distress?
No.
Persecution?
No.
Famine?
No.
Nakedness?
No.
Peril?
No.
Or sword?
No.
No. No. He says that it is written, for your sake, we are all killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. And all these things. Oh, I like this. And all these things. Dealing with your healing, dealing with debt, dealing with family issues, dealing with in-laws, dealing with whatever the work situations, your co-workers, your bosses, and all these things. We are more than conquerors through him who, oh my goodness, loved us. Oh, he loves you. If he's loved you, no, there's nothing that can come against you. He says this, I love the way he ends this. And this is what you got to believe too. You got to know this in your heart so deep. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Why did he say created thing? Demons are fallen angels. Angels were created. Well, the enemy is against me. He's a created being. He says, no, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able. Remember I said there's nothing that the enemy can do to try to separate you from Christ. He can't mix. He can't separate the mixture. It's impossible. That will not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Lord God.
Amen. Release that power inside of you. You release it because you know who you are. You know that power is available. It's inside of you. Put your hand over your belly. Said there's power in me.
There's power in me.
Said the very power of God.
The very power of God
resides in me.
Resides in me.
Let that, just meditate on that for just a second. That power which is more powerful than a nuclear bomb. That power is moving in me. That power is stirring up in me. That power is working healing in me. I release it because I know that I'm loved. I release it because I have the very mind of Christ. I release it because I have his voice. I can speak out his word. I release it by faith in Jesus' name. Did you get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. We'll give God the glory this morning. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. We thank you. We thank you that we know who we are in Jesus, who we are in Christ. And let us not ever forget that. We grow deeper into this word. We grow deeper into it because he loves us. In Jesus' name. I'll turn it over to Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. Thank you.